Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Maika and Maritza Molit are Haitian-American sisters who share a love of books. But something that became painfully apparent to them growing up, they didn't have many characters who looked like them. So they decided to write their own novel, Dear Haiti, Love Elaine. It's the story of 17-year-old Elaine Beauparolo, who attends a prep school in South Florida. Elaine is forced to go to Haiti to live with her mother at one point, and there she uncovers a lot about herself, her family history, and her Haitian heritage. Now, we recently spoke with the sisters about the inspiration for the book and what they learned about themselves, and we started with Maritza. How do you describe the story for anybody who hasn't read it yet?
We would say that it's a story of when keeping it real goes wrong. Elaine just wanted to defend her mother. Elaine's mother has a very public breakdown on air. And as a result, Elaine starts getting teased at school. Her mother is hidden away in Haiti trying to avoid paparazzi. And, you know, kids are mean. And Elaine is not the type of person to just to take it lying down. So she retaliates and hijinks ensue. And she ends up getting sent to Haiti, where she has the opportunity to really forge a relationship with her mother that she has never been able to have before. She gets to learn about her culture in a way that has been out of her grasp because she is growing up in the United States. She knows the language, but she doesn't really interact with a lot of Haitian people besides her best friend and her dad. And there's so much more out there to learn. And I think that what Dear Haiti, Love Elaine does as well is that it gives people a different perspective to Haiti, because a lot of times what you know about Haiti is that it's the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. And yes, that's true. But there's so much more to it. We're the first Black republic in the world. You know, we were the second country, like, or the second republic in the Western Hemisphere. So, I mean, there's a lot of pride and beauty in our history and our culture now, and we wanted to share that. And there was so much that we didn't know before we wrote the story that we learned as we were researching to write, which has been so enriching on our side as well.
Mm-hmm. Who is Elaine? Where does she come from? Is she a real person? Is she either of you?
It was so funny because we've been doing school presentations and a student asked us, like, is the character more me or more Maritza? So I would say the brashness is a little bit me.
Yeah, it's a lot of it, Maika.
So I'm the one to kind of say what is on my mind. Like, I won't hold back. But then
she's very feminist like me and is incredibly ambitious. And I know you're ambitious too, Maika, but I'm talking about me right now. Yeah.
We're sisters, if you couldn't tell.
No, I can definitely tell. Yes. Well, you know, I mean, this, one of the things I love about her is that she is, I mean, again, she has this confidence, especially about her appearance. Mm-hmm. And her hair plays a big part in her life.
Definitely.
Tell me a little bit about that and why. Why was that important for you?
Yeah. We wanted to have Elaine be proud of her hair because a lot of times as women and specifically as a Black woman, you tie a lot of your beauty into your hair. But for Black women in particular, when you embrace your natural hair or what grows out of your head, people will have lots of preconceived notions about what that means. So if you wear your afro, if you meet someone that's, you know, white or not Black, they might think that your hair is unkempt or unruly or that kind of thing. And then sometimes even when you meet another Black person or a person of color, they might think, oh, well, this person's militant or some other idea of what it means to express yourself by just letting the hair grow out of your head. For Elaine, it's not so much a statement. It's just that she's embraced who she is, you know, kookiness, sassiness and all. And that involves caring for her hair. And for me in particular, like, I don't have any hair. I have alopecia, so I just shaved it all off. So I'm rocking the bald look. But, you know, it takes a lot of self-confidence to a certain extent or just being comfortable in yourself to embrace what you're working with. And we wanted Elaine, the story, to not be about, you know, a Black girl who can't accept herself for who she is. We want her to know, like, she's sound in who she is. She knows that she's a young Black woman, what that means in the world, and she experiences life around that.
Yeah, you use Pinterest in helping create Elaine.
Yes.
How?
Yes.
So our editor and the cover designer asked us to give them like ideas of what we were thinking for the cover. So we told them like we want Elaine to have smooth dark skin, to look like Aja Naomi King from How to Get Away with Murder, and we wanted her to have awesome big natural hair like
Yara Shahidi.
Yes, Yara Shahidi from Black-ish and Grown-ish. And we looked online and put together different outfits and different hairstyles and all of that and sent it along. And then they presented us with that cover, and we were so thrilled.
Yeah. And it was funny, too, because we were also able to send over images of traditional Haitian art. Mm-hmm. So a lot of Haitian artwork encompasses plants, the people doing everyday tasks. There's red and blue, and you know, Haitian people, we love our flag. So I said, if you incorporate red or blue, we're sold.
When did you have the idea that you wanted to write a book and that you wanted to write it together?
Okay, Maika speaking. So the idea for this actually has been something that's kind of been percolating for a very long time. So growing up, our parents were super, super strict. They took being a Haitian immigrant family to the next level, and they did not allow us to watch TV during the weekdays. It was terrible. We hated it. Everyone would be quoting, like, The Simpsons, and we couldn't.
We didn't know what they were talking about.
Oh, my goodness.
But they did let us watch Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, the news, and when we were behaving, like PBS, so we would watch Reading Rainbow or Arthur, so those kinds of things. But we read a ton of books because every weekend for our entertainment, they would take us to the library, and Maritza and I are the two oldest of four women, so we'd go to the library and max out on the number of books for each of us. So it's 30 each, so 120 books leaving the library every weekend. And then we would read a ton of stories. And throughout that process, we fell in love with all of the different characters that we were reading about, but we never found anyone who looked like us or who came from our background, you know, if they were Haitian or Haitian American. Like, we didn't really find that. So we always thought, like, oh, let's write the story. And we've tried writing it separately, but Dear Haiti, Love Elaine was our attempt at doing it together.
Yeah, Maritza, I mean, when was that? At what point in your life it's like you actually started putting this story together?
So I think around 2015, I was graduating from grad school, and I did not want to do what I went to grad school for.
Which is?
Journalism.
Okay.
Sorry, Lewis.
That's all right.
But yeah, so I was thinking, like, what am I going to do with my life? And Maika was also thinking, what am I going to do in my life? And we decided to sit down, and for some reason, the story came to us at the same time. Like, Elaine, our main character, like, we just knew she was going to be sassy and sarcastic and very ambitious and have great hair. And she just was a person in our head. So we sat down and we wrote her together, I guess, like three, four years ago. And then we got an agent and an editor, and the rest is history.
I'm talking with Maika and Maritza Mulit. They are sisters, and their debut young adult novel is called Dear Haiti, Love Elaine. The book follows Elaine, 17-year-old Haitian-American from Miami, who has to go back to Haiti for a spring volunteer immersion project. And this happened because of an embarrassing incident at school. Now, the book hits topics like Haiti's history, the women of the Haitian Revolution. It touches on black magic and voodoo and so many other things. It is a truly fascinating read. How often do you guys go back to Haiti?
Not frequently. We were able to go back last year so that way we can experience everything for ourselves, especially since we were in the editing process. And growing up, our parents would go back and forth. Mostly our grandmother and our mother would go back and forth to Haiti, and our dad really didn't go back. But it's this idea of, as when you're a first-generation American, especially when you're Haitian American, like, going back to the island is kind of, it wasn't always embraced when we were younger. It was just kind of something that you heard about, but you were never encouraged to go back and experience it yourself.
I mean, a big part of Elaine's story is she has to do this project to understand her history. You know, was this all new to you? Was this a lot of history that you had to go and find yourself? Or is it history that is talked about in Haitian families?
So I can't speak for all Haitian families, but for us, we knew the basics. We knew Toussaint Louverture, who was like the George Washington of Haiti. But and we had heard certain names, Jean-Jacques Dessalines, or like the really important people have street signs in North Miami and Little Haiti.
Yes.
But when we decided to write Dear Haiti, Love Elaine, our family is from the northern part of Haiti, Okap, and we decided to talk about someone from there because we're narcissistic. So we decided to focus on Henri Christophe, who was the first and only king of Haiti. And we learned so much about him and his wife and his children that we had never learned before. So we used that as like a stepping stone to creating our own story. So no one hold us to what you read in there. But it's a good, I guess, kind of like mini crash course into the who's who.
There's something fascinating about the story, too, is that it came through in the Elaine character for me. Like a lot of immigrants, is living in that hyphen. She's Haitian American, so mm-hmm. she's living in that. And it came through when she did the first part of her project, and she's describing these people. But then she's got a little snark at the end of her answers, yes. But I got the sense from that like she's not completely happy or connected to that part of her. I don't know. I mean, that's what am I reading into that?
Yeah. No, you're right. You're reading it right.
Okay. All right. Good.
Yeah. Because a lot of times I would say that it's the same thing for the historical figures that you learn in school. Like before Alexander Hamilton was Alexander Hamilton,
before the Broadway show. Yeah.
Yeah. He was just the first Treasury Secretary. And that was that, you know. But then you get a huge story behind him, and then you understand who he is. But before Elaine learns who that is, before she truly understands the importance of especially the female historical figures that she's doing in that she's studying in her project, before she has that connection, they're just kind of names in a book that she types up. So it really takes her having to dig deep and get more information and learn about what these people were doing for her to really appreciate them.
Micah, one of the other things that you guys touch on, and this one was very special for me. This one touched me because you touch on the issue of Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. And so I had a grandmother who passed away from it. So this had a little more importance for me. But why did you want to tackle that topic?
Yeah. We have family members who have Alzheimer's, and it's jarring to see the person that you've known who's been like, you know, spunky and powerful and all of these things growing up. And there's a sadness to it when you see somebody deteriorating in that way. But for Dear Haiti, Love Elaine, we wanted to make sure that someone who's reading the story, especially a young person, would be able to see that there's still hope. You know, like just because you've received that diagnosis or your family member has received that diagnosis doesn't mean that you stop living for now. There are still things to live for. And particularly within Haitian culture, sometimes when something bad happens, we'll say, oh, c'est maldition, or it was a curse or something that was passed on from generation to generation. And we wanted Elaine to decide for herself how much of this family curse that has been, you know, a part of her life for so long is the cause of, you know, one of her family members having Alzheimer's, and what that means to her to be able to kind of dissect and inspect the mystical aspects of being Haitian, and also being able to decide for yourself what that means to you.
Let's finish up with this. We'll have a little bit of fun. I'll lighten it up here at the end. First of all, what's that writing process like? I mean, writing tends to be a very lonely process.
Absolutely.
It's usually one writer.
Absolutely.
But you guys are sharing. Yeah. So yes. What was that? How did that work out?
Yeah. So before Moritz and I started writing together, I was a pantser, right? So
yes.
I write by the seat of my pants, and I'm like, oh, let me see. The spirit is moving me. Let me write. And, you know, it's a perfect way to never finish writing anything. So when Maritza and I sat together, she's a plotter. So she likes to know what's going to happen in the story. And in order for us to know what we're working on, we have to know what the other person is working on. So we'll make a very extensive outline that's like 30 pages long before we even get started writing. So we know everything that's going to happen in the story. And then as we start writing, we'll just hop in. I might write literally a paragraph. She'll write three. I might write a whole chapter. She'll write one. And then we just go back and edit what the other person wrote. And it's like we're combing over each other's writing so that it sounds like one voice.
And what happens when you have a disagreement on something?
That's why I have no hair.
I pulled all of it out. No, so what we actually do is that, oh, this is Maritza. We will sit down and state our cases, and whoever is most passionate about their idea wins out, because we figure that the passion is going to be the thing that moves the story along the best.
Take me to one part of the story where you had that, the way you had a back and forth about what to do in this particular chapter or moment.
How we started the book to begin with was a point of contention, or contention, because Maritza, we were just going to write it as a regular novel, you know, with prose. And Maritza was like, I have an amazing idea. Let's write an epistolary novel. And I'm like, no, that's cheesy. And she was like, no, it's going to be great. We tried the epistolary format like Maritza wants.
And remind people of what that is.
Oh, yeah. So epistolary is just a fancy way of saying that your book is comprised of different forms of media. So for Dear Haiti Love Elaine, it has tweets, diary entries, police reports, Black Twitter makes an appearance, all kinds of things.
How did you do it? How'd you convince her?
I said that it would be a different type of story. Something that I thought that we could present with this type of story is that, like, I couldn't think of any story like the one that we wrote that's about like a Black girl getting to know her mom. And even though there are like heavy topics in the story, it's still very lighthearted and fun and funny. We think we're funny. And our mom says we're funny. And we just wanted to show that side of people, of ourselves, because a lot of times like people of color, Black girls, don't really get to see that part of themselves in the media. So we were happy to show that.
And I think it goes back to the idea of just wanting to make sure that you're reflected in the work that you read, in the work that you experience, in the work that we write. I don't see us ever deviating from writing about people of color. Like, I want to be able to have that experience that I had as an adult to give that to a younger person and let them read that and see themselves and feel like, wow, I'm really seen.
That was Maika and Maritza Mulit. They're sisters, and their debut young adult novel is called Dear Haiti, Love Elaine. You could read along with us by joining our book club. Just look up Sundial Book Club on Facebook. There you can see a video of me talking with the sisters on the WLRN roof. Also, by the way, the music you've been listening to during today's program is from a special playlist that Maika and Maritza curated based on what they believe Elaine would have been listening to in Haiti during her trip. And at Sundial for this Tuesday, October 22nd, Sundial is produced by Chris Remington and Alejandra Martinez. Our engagement editor is Katie Lepre. Teresa Frontado is our digital director. Our news director is Terrence Shepard. Alicia Zuckerman is our editorial director. WLRN's program director is Jason Zapka. And our technical supervisor is Peter J. Meritz. Well, coming up tomorrow on Sundial, three hospitals in Palm Beach County have joined more than two dozen hospitals across the state in a joint lawsuit against the manufacturers of opioid drugs. They're seeking billions of dollars in damages for uncompensated treatment of patients suffering from the opioid crisis. Plus, we're going to introduce you to Captain Ron Wolick. He's a makeup and body paint artist taking part in Fantasy Fest this year. We'll learn how his mom, running makeup at Disney, trained him to be the artist that he is today. All of that on the program tomorrow. Remember, find us on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.